praise thee, Lord, for thy great plan, that we thy dwelling place may be.
Welcome to Life Study of the Bible, brought to you by Living Stream Ministry. In 1924, Witness Lee was dynamically saved by the Lord as a young man in his native China, and he promptly consecrated the rest of his life to the gospel. He co-labored with Watchman Nee for parts of the next three decades, and in 1962, Witness Lee was led by the Lord to come to the United States. During his 35 years of service to the Lord in America, he ministered in weekly meetings and weekend conferences, delivering thousands of spoken messages. Much of his speaking has since been published as more than 400 titles, many of which have been translated into numerous foreign languages. He gave his last public conference in February 1997 at the age of 91. We're happy today to be able to bring you recorded excerpts from his speaking and encourage you to contact us if you have any further questions or comments. Please send email to radio@lsm.org. Now, let's join today's program. 2 Corinthians is a marvelous book, giving us both a detailed biography of the Apostle Paul and a clear understanding of the goal of the New Testament ministry. The goal, as we have seen, is for believers and unbelievers alike to be fully reconciled to God. That means that both in fact and in our experience, there is no barrier, no hindrance, nothing separating us from enjoying God and living Christ. This is the ministry that Paul and the other apostles were commissioned with. And further, it should be the goal of our own Christian life. We have been saved many years ago, having settled that question of our eternal destiny once and for all. But do we live a life that's fully reconciled to God? This was Paul's question to the believers in Corinth as well. Listen, chapter 5, verse 20 of 2 Corinthians. On behalf of Christ, then, we are ambassadors, as God entreats you through us. We beseech you, on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. After a lengthy absence, Dennis Agashi has joined us again, back in the studio for Life Study of the Bible. Dennis, great to have you back, and I know that since you've kind of moved out of our area here, it's not very convenient, but we appreciate very much that you're back with us today.
Yes, Chris, I really enjoy being back, and just from your introduction, I'm looking forward to having this time with you again.
Really something, isn't it, how this matter of the reconciliation has been opened up to us in 2 Corinthians to see that, of course, we all experience a kind of reconciliation when we receive the Lord. We accept His forgiveness for our sins and accept the fact that we have been justified in Christ.
Yes.
And can enter into God's presence. But Paul is really going deeper than that now with these believers. He's talking to the church in Corinth, who
right.
he called saints in the first book of Corinthians, so we know they're believers born again.
Right.
And still there's the exhortation, the encouragement for them to be even more fully reconciled.
It is amazing how the Bible is so rich in this kind of revelation and experience. I appreciate your words here that we are entering both not into only the fact, but also the experience of being fully reconciled to God.
Mm-hmm. Well, of course, you know, this first initial stage, as we've been describing it now in these previous messages of reconciliation, is the objective. It is that act of Christ outside and apart from us that really cleared the record with God
right.
once and for all.
Right.
And there's nothing we can do to undo that. But in the realm of our experience, we find ourselves, like the believers in Corinth, a lot of problems still, a lot
yes.
of imperfections and things that come up. And they do impact our fellowship and enjoyment of Christ, don't they?
Absolutely, Chris. You know, it just reminded me, as you were speaking, Romans 5:10 said that at a time of our salvation, we were reconciled by His death.
Right.
That's automatic, and that settles the eternal destiny. But this is a further reconciliation. You know, that verse continues, we're reconciled by His death, but much more we shall be saved by His life. So this actually, this fellowship here that Paul is giving in 2 Corinthians 5 is similar to Romans chapter 5 in that we are speaking about the much more salvation.
And we see that as we continue now, we transition between chapter 5 and chapter 6. Really, our focus today, we opened up with this verse that we've been enjoying for some time, chapter 5, verse 20. But our focus more specifically is chapter 6.
Right.
And I think the first point that will be underscored today as we join Witness Lee here in a moment is that these two chapters are linked. And chapter 6 is a continuation of chapter 5.
Right.
And as we pointed out, I think, yesterday on the program, chapter 6 opens up with the word and. And working together with him.
Right.
It says, we also entreat you not to receive the grace of God in vain.
Right.
So this means that what we're going to see in chapter 6 is a direct continuation of what Paul was presenting in chapter 5, where we saw this ministry of reconciliation, and even how it culminates, the last verse in chapter 5, that we might become, well, let's read the whole verse. It's such a marvelous verse. Him who did not know sin, he made sin on our behalf, that we might become the righteousness of God in him.
Really?
Well, that's our focus. Why don't we join Witness Lee, and then you and I will have some more opportunity to fellowship on this. Here's Witness Lee.
Most of the Christian teachers and preachers, including me, we understand chapter 6 always in a separate way. We never saw how chapter 6 is a further, an additional explanation of chapter 5. And chapter 5 tells us that the apostles have received a ministry of reconciliation to reconcile God's people, not only sinners, but also God's people back into God himself, that all God's people might become the righteousness of God in Christ. God is righteousness, and you are just this righteousness of God. So you become an attribute of what God is. This is marvelous. And this is the purpose of God's salvation. And this is even God's economy. God's economy in saving you is just to make you an expression of God. This is what is declared in chapter 5. But Paul knows that declaration was too brief. So he used another chapter, chapter 6, to explain further, to give us an additional description of such a reconciliation, such a full salvation. So in chapter 6, he calls this kind of reconciliation a salvation. Not salvation to the sinners, but salvation to the halfway reconciled God's people. The halfway reconciled people of God all needs some further reconciliation.
Dennis, this is I think an important point. In chapter 5, we have this matter of reconciliation. Paul's talking about the ministry of reconciliation,
right,
and even being an ambassador of the ministry of reconciliation.
Yes.
Now in chapter 6, in the same kind of spirit, in the same thought, he now uses the word salvation.
Yes.
I read verse 1. Verse 2 continues, for he says, in an acceptable time I listened to you, and in the day of salvation I helped you. That's a quote, of course, from the Old Testament. Now Paul adds, behold, now is the well acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Speaking to the believers. So this is a kind of a further understanding or further development even of the concept or thought of salvation than we typically consider, isn't it?
Absolutely. This matter of salvation here found in verse 2 no doubt is related to the end of chapter 5. In fact, the whole transition here from chapter 5 to chapter 6 is really picked up, I think, with these two key words, reconciled and salvation. In that salvation in verse 2 of chapter 6, as you mentioned, Chris, really means further reconciliation to God. And I just appreciate in chapter 6 of 2 Corinthians, Paul's real heart. He just, as an ambassador, God entreats But also Paul entreats. He was one with God. He was actually working together with God to entreat the believers back to God himself. As you said, the eternal destiny of all the believers have been settled once for all. But now we, as our brother shared, are just the half-reconciled believers. Yeah. So we have a lot of other things that we need to be reconciled or saved from. This is really a tremendous matter.
The verse you brought out, I think, in the opening was excellent today. Romans 5:10, I believe.
Yes.
And it says something like, therefore, having been
reconciled
through his death,
right,
much more we are being saved in his life.
Absolutely.
And the verb there is the present participle, or being, which
yes,
means this kind of salvation is ongoing, isn't
yes,
it? It's not the once for all salvation we receive by grace at the time we accept the Lord.
Absolutely. This second part of Romans 5:10, much more we shall be saved in this life. And you can see it paralleled and described here. And in fact, I think Paul brings out in chapter 6 the aspects of this salvation. But this is marvelous that today, Chris, that we can be saved in his life much more. Just as our being reconciled by his death was such a marvelous redemption and a marvelous salvation, much more now through the Lord's life we can be saved. And this is described here in chapter 6 of 2 Corinthians.
Dennis, as we go on today, now we're going to come into this arena where our daily experience, our daily life are somewhat brought into focus.
Mm-hmm.
And as we have been objectively, eternally saved, now that salvation is being worked into all of the
right,
inner chambers of our being.
Yes.
And even it's referred to in Romans, Witness Lee will make a reference to Romans chapter 8 in this coming portion. Paul says in Romans, for the mind set on the flesh is death, but the mind set on the spirit is life and peace. Sometimes our mind rewards us with life and peace. Sometimes it issues in death, doesn't
right,
it?
Right, right.
Because the mind set on the flesh is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither can it be. So let's delve a little further into even being saved, even in our mind.
This is a marvelous point. Romans 8:6, I think, is so practical. To me, this verse is the application of whether we know to what degree we are saved. Let me use that word. I believe Brother Lee uses this in the life study. It's so practical, Chris, you and I, and all the listeners, as we go through our human life, this, what Paul brings out, describes the human life. We are either people in life and peace, or we are people with enmity against God, mainly by the opposite of life and peace, being uncomfortable in all these matters.
Well, Witness Lee is going to develop this for us in the portion just ahead.
Our being reconciled to the Lord, especially into Him, has a degree. Has a degree. I hope that this degree will go fast. One day, probably, what's my name? Had a talk with a brother. He said, this brother so-and-so, his improvement is not running. You know, running is much faster than walking. He said, not on running, but flying. I hope the degree of your being saved may be able to lag 747. Go that fast. In chapter 6, you have the progress of being saved. And to be saved is just to be reconciled to God. Romans 8 says what? If you are in flesh, there is enmity. If you are in spirit, there is not only life, but also peace. And peace is an indication that you are fully reconciled to God. As long as there's something within you that is short of peace, and that something is enmity, and that indicates, at least in certain things, you have not been reconciled to God. Because between you and God, in certain things, still there's no peace. When there's no peace, sure there's enmity. When peace comes, enmity goes. And peace comes or not, this depends upon whether you would be reconciled to God or not. So, chapter 6 gives us further explanations of this kind of full reconciliation, full salvation. He says, don't receive God's grace in vain. You have received a lot of grace, but you don't make any progress. So you need to be saved more. So he says, now is the time. Now is the time for you to be saved. The sorry to say, most of the preachers, including me, in the past, all borrowed this verse for gospel preaching. Don't miss the chance. Receive God's grace. But Paul doesn't say, receive God's grace. Paul says, don't receive it in vain. You have received already. Now you have to let this grace work in you. Let this work in you. And this is to be saved.
I think it's worth taking a little time here to really emphasize this point, because I think for many of our listeners, this has to be a new thought. To understand such a verse that has a marvelous gospel application. I don't know about you, but I've used this verse before in presenting the gospel, because it does present it in a way that has a compelling time element attached to it. Today, now is the time of salvation.
Right.
Don't let this moment pass you by.
Right.
But really, it's okay. I think Paul would allow us to borrow it for such a purpose.
Right.
But he's speaking here to the believers again,
right,
isn't he?
Right, he is.
And this key matter of it being receiving the grace, not in vain. Maybe you can pick up both these thoughts.
This thought about not receiving, don't receive it in vain, I appreciate Brother Lee's fellowship on this. It doesn't mean that we have never received grace. This implies that we have already received grace, but don't allow this grace just to remain in you. In other words, don't be just half reconciled. Allow the grace to work in you until we can be fully reconciled believers, until we can be those believers with absolutely no hindrance before God. And so the grace within us that we have received wants to work. And this grace is the motivating factor that causes us to be reconciled to God fully. And Paul is saying, don't allow this grace just to remain in you in a vain way. We've received this grace. We continue to receive this grace, but allow it to move. Allow it to work in you. That the conclusion would be you would fully be reconciled to God, and there would absolutely be no shadow between you and God. What a marvelous thought. This is truly tremendous.
Dennis, keep going here and apply this now, as he did, to what we see in Romans chapter 8. Two conditions of the mind. One where it's preoccupied with the flesh and it has a result. Another where it's occupied with the spirit.
Right. Well, I appreciate Brother Lee's definition here, or fellowship. Peace being the indication of being fully reconciled. We may be at peace with God in certain things, but our fellowship is not just with God vertically. Our fellowship is with one another horizontally. So we may be at peace with God, but maybe with some other believers, other members, or even maybe members in our family. We just know there is no peace because there has been an offense there. There's been a situation there. There's no clearing, and so there's no peace. And this is a great indication. Reconciliation, being saved, and not receiving a God in vain is all related to this matter of peace. We have to have peace fully before God and with all men. This is marvelous.
As he pointed out, and I think our experience bears it out as well, if there's something in us, some thought, as we consider it, right away there is no peace. That means there's enmity with God. That means there's an area, at least experientially, where we're not reconciled to God, doesn't it?
Right, absolutely. And this is the area that God, through the apostles, is entreating us to be reconciled to him. In other words, take care of it. Allow the grace of God to work in you. That way you can be fully reconciled with everyone.
Well, that's a great understanding of this. Go ahead. You have another thought.
Yeah, I just had a thought about this. You know, this at the beginning, Brother Lisa, about the progress here. In 1 Timothy 4:15, it reminded me that Paul said, practice these things, after his exhortation to Timothy. Be in them, that your progress may be made manifest to all.
Wow.
So again here, Paul is calling, telling his young co-worker Timothy, practice, be in these things, because you will make some progress. And I think Paul has the same thought here. Corinthian believers, don't stay as you are. You've received grace, but don't remain there. You have to make progress. You have to go on. You have to experience salvation to a higher degree.
Well, we see the progress advancing further as we go deeper into chapter 6. By verse 11, Paul says, our mouth is open to you, Corinthians. Our heart is enlarged. This is a wonderful concept, a great thought. I love this verse. But you are not constricted in us, but you are constricted in your inward parts. But for a recompense in kind, I speak as to children, you also be enlarged. Paul's telling them, there's room in my heart for you. You need to make sure there's room in your heart for me, and for all of the other believers, as you said. This relationships with all of the members of the body of Christ are all critical.
Right.
Well, let's go back to Witness Lee.
If you do lack to be so saved, to be so reconciled to God, Corinthians, you have to be enlarged in your heart. To be enlarged. In the past 50 years, I saw you sell a lot of different, lovely, and dear, and precious brothers. I tell you, a good number of them are strict. Oh, that brother? Oh, cast him out! He shouldn't remain in the church. How can we accept him? Oh, that sister? Oh, terrible! Terrible! You have to condemn her. Yes, we have to be righteous. We have to be straight. We have to be sometimes strict. But just be strict with yourself. Don't be strict with anyone else. The strict people are all the narrow people. Right? So, this means not only you are unable to reconcile others to God, even you have not been reconciled to God yet. Your narrowness is a strong sign that you have been only partially reconciled to God, and the percentage is very low. How high is the percentage of your being reconciled to God depends upon how large is your heart. Your heart should be enlarged. Suppose I offend you. Would you forgive me? Do you know what is to forgive? Forgive is to forget. You better not say forgive. You better say forget. Forgetting is the real forgiving. Check yourself. This one offended you. And then that one offended you. There is a record. No man can see, only the angels. Have you forgiven these offenders? Have you forgotten them? Say yes or no. Very hard to say yes. We are not enlarged. Our heart is not enlarged.
Dennis, he said, your being reconciled to God depends on how large is your heart. I don't know how this strikes people, but boy, I just had a lot of reruns there of criticisms, of critical thoughts of others, and it's very exposing, isn't it?
It really is, Christian. It just reminded me, I think you and I both know in our past Christian life, with ourselves and with others, we've seen many so-called spiritual ones. But the tendency of the spiritual ones is that the strictness and the narrowness and everything like that comes in, the legality. Now, this is amazing, verses 11 through 13. Paul brings out an enlarged heart. The result of salvation, the result of being reconciled, is not becoming more strict, but becoming much more enlarged to embrace. Who else would embrace? Who else could embrace the Corinthians? There were such, and yet Paul wrote to such a group of believers, talk about it being an enlarged heart. Paul was an example of one being reconciled and yet still able to so much bear these Corinthian believers. Amazing.
Really so, with the condition and the past offenses that had been committed by the Corinthians toward Paul, a strict, narrow person would have just written him off.
Exactly.
He would have gone down the road to Thessalonica or someplace that still loved him.
Exactly.
But he was so broad and enlarged because he himself had been so fully reconciled to God that he had room in his heart for all that God had in his own heart.
Isn't that marvelous? And this is a duplication, a reflection of God himself. Here we are, sinners in the world, yet God loved the world. He didn't reject us. He still came to us, and he's still calling people back to himself. Be fully reconciled to me.
Dennis, it takes me back to verse 21 of chapter 5, because here we see Paul living out the reality of this verse.
Yes.
Him who did not know sin, he made sin that we might become the righteousness of God.
Yes.
I think we have to testify, in this instance at least, Paul was demonstrating he had really become the righteousness of God in Christ.
Absolutely.
Never in himself.
Right.
But in Christ.
Right.
Oh, it's been too good, Dennis.
Marvelous.
It's really, I think, underscores how important it is that we get you back here more often. The Lord's been with us, and I've been refreshed by our fellowship.
Amen.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you, Chris.
Well, let's leave you with our contact information. We hope you will take time to call us. Our toll-free number is 1-888-LIFE-STUDY, 888-543-3788. And our email address is radio@lsm.org. We hope you've enjoyed the program, and we hope you'll be with us again tomorrow. For Dennis Agashi, I'm Chris Wilde. Thank you for listening. Thank you for listening to Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee. These programs are based on messages Witness Lee gave when he did a comprehensive book-by-book study of the Bible, showing how Christ is life to man. Whether you're hearing these life studies via radio, online, or as a podcast, we hope you'll visit our website, lifestudy.com. There, you'll find more than 1,700 audio studies covering every book of the Bible. Again, that's lifestudy.com. Thanks again for listening.